From the Carol App for Mums, this is the Mum Debrief podcast with your host, Holly Zocalan, mum of two and the founder of the Carol App, the free mobile app connecting and supporting mums throughout their motherhood journey through community and handpicked expert-led content. The Mum Debrief is a podcast where we talk all things motherhood from the good, the bad, and the tantrums. Join us as we welcome expert guests to talk all things pregnancy to postpartum and beyond, and discuss our own experiences to help make your motherhood journey a little bit easier. We are so happy to have you here. Let's get into it. This episode is brought to you by Beauty Pie, the beauty brand aiming to provide consumers with high-end, hard-working products without the hefty price tag. Beauty Pie is an absolute go-to for affordable luxury skin products that work. Some of my favourite products include the Japan Fusion Cleanser and the Healthy Skin Moisturiser. Both are an absolute staple in my skincare routine and help to keep my skin looking youthful, glowy and hydrated. The Carol App community has an exclusive discount of 3 months free membership, where you get 70% off full price luxury skincare and beauty products. And trust me when I say their products are incredible. Go to www.beautypie.com/bp/promotions/the-carol-app to get your exclusive discount today. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Mum Debrief. This week we are talking with Emma, who is also known as the Dietitian with a Difference, and we dive into all things to do with weaning, cow's milk allergy, fussy eating, introducing new foods, when foods have been refused by a little one, how to start weaning, and so much more. I know you're going to love this episode. Enjoy! So welcome to the Mum Debrief podcast, Emma. I'm so looking forward to chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Of course. Before we get started, could you please introduce yourself to our listeners and share how you help parents?
Yeah, so my name's Emma Schocker. I'm a paediatric dietitian at Dietitian with a Difference, and I help parents with fussy eating and food allergies. But I'm not just a dietitian, I'm also a mum who has lived through multiple food allergies and a very fussy eater. So I try to share lots of practical tips with parents.
I think this is something that, well, I know our community are always talking about, how can I get my toddler to eat this? And we're in the thick of it with our daughter. So I can't wait to dive in for our audience, but also for myself.
That's absolutely fine.
So how did you get into the work that you do? Was there something that kind of inspired you to get into becoming a dietitian and helping parents on their weaning journeys?
So I actually used to be an events manager before, and I retrained at 30 to become a dietitian. So I went back to uni and did a four-year degree. Everyone thought I was slightly crazy. I did that. I just felt like I really wanted to do something that helps people, and I just felt like events was great in my 20s, but if I was going to have children, it really wasn't a very practical job to be doing anymore. And I was really passionate. I was getting more and more interested in nutrition as well. So I really wanted to go and do something different. So yeah, I took the plunge and retrained. And then in terms of paediatrics, so I've been working as a dietitian now for about 9, near 10 years. And I kind of moved more into paediatrics 7 years ago. You lose all track of time, don't you? My little girl's 7 years old. And basically, she was born prematurely. And we had a real nightmare with feeding. And she got really bad reflux. And she was refused to feed, basically. She was really tiny anyway. She was only born at like 4 pounds 15 anyway. And just the whole journey was just a nightmare. Weaning her was a nightmare. She hated it, absolutely hated it. Didn't want to put anything in her mouth. It's really stressful. I just kind of got more and more interested. She was also diagnosed with cow's milk allergy at 3 months as well. So the first 3 months were just basically non-stop screaming. Just loads of reflux, really, really unhappy, uncomfortable child that I couldn't stop screaming. So yeah, all of that went on, and then yeah, and then obviously as she got older, she sort of became very fussy as well, and I think it sort of linked to her allergies, her whole association with being, fed and everything else. So then yeah, developed and worked on lots of strategies to kind of help other parents as well, because I just feel like, especially with fussy eating, there's not that much help out there, and if your child's growing well and they're tracking the centiles, you won't get a referral one to a dietitian. And I just think there's so many parents that are struggling. And so if I can share some tips and some ways that it can help them, then yeah, no, that's what I try to do.
Can you walk us through the cow's milk allergy? Like, what, how do you know that that's happening? What, are there different types? Is cow's milk allergy the same as being lactose intolerant? I think there's so many different questions around this subject. It'd be great if you could give us a bit of a deep dive if possible.
Yeah, sure. And so in terms of cow's milk allergy, it's not probably as common as people think it is. It's actually only about 2 to 7% of people that actually have it. I think it's just that when you know someone that has it, you sort of migrate more towards seeing more and more people with it. So I just want to reassure listeners that it's not really, really common, so they don't worry too much. But basically, in terms of a cow's milk allergy, you've got two types. So you've got your IgE mediated allergy, which is your immediate allergy. So that's normally a response within sort of minutes to sort of 2 hours. And then you've got your non-IgE, which is mediated allergy, which is what we call our delayed allergy. That's the most common one and the most that we see normally as a dietitian. I would see people with those. And that's what my little girl, for example, had. And their reactions tend to be within 2 to 72 hours. So in terms of symptoms, I will share you, I wrote a blog recently on cow's milk allergy symptoms because there's quite a lot of them. So I will share that with you. But in terms of the main sort of symptoms you're looking at is your like skin reactions. So sometimes children will get like eczema, some will get hives, some will get itching. You've got your gastrointestinal ones. So those are things like vomiting, diarrhea, can be constipation as well, real discomfort. Like I found my little girl would really arch her back. And like she was really uncomfortable a lot of the time. And then you've also got like respiratory as well, you can get in some children. So sometimes like runny nose, coughing a lot, wheezing, shortness of breath, all of those symptoms as well. And then you've got what we call kind of the general discomfort one, where they're very irritable and very like fussy, and they refuse to feed often as well. So again, that's what my little girl had. So she had symptoms such as really bad reflux, arching back, really uncomfortable, crying nonstop, and eventually, before we ended up in hospital, she was basically refusing to feed completely, and she was also quite constipated as well. So yeah, it can be a multiple of different factors, and that's often why you need to sort of go to your health professional and speak to them, because we need to sort of unpick what else is going on, because obviously lots of babies get colic and you can get reflux and it can not be a milk allergy. So it's trying to understand all of that to get an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, that's really, really helpful. And for children with a cow's milk allergy, how would you suggest that p parents go about weaning? So, say you've had the diagnosis, and then it's, they're turning 6 months, and you're thinking, okay, it's time to start weaning. I imagine it's quite overwhelming, especially if your child has cow's milk allergy. How would you suggest parents go about starting to wean?
So I would start exactly the normal way. So however you're going to start, around sort of 6 months, when it makes sure they're all ready to start weaning. The main thing you're obviously doing is avoiding anything with cow's milk allergy, cow's milk in it, sorry. So basically, there's so many options out there nowadays. Like when my little girl was like 7 years ago, there were a lot less options, but there's so many more options out there. I mean, my personal favourites are things like oat milk and soya milk in terms of nutritionally as options if your child can tolerate those foods. So again, always pick something that's fortified as well with some calcium and iodine. You want to make sure you don't pick organic, which is what a lot of parents like to choose for the little ones, because if you take an organic one, it's not fortified. So the organic yogurts aren't fortified with calcium, which is really, really important for your little one because they've got really high calcium requirements at that age. So yeah, wean completely as normal, but obviously avoid anything with milk in. The alternatives can be used. So like if you're making, you're cooking, for example, you can use like oat milk in cooking. You can use it in their cereal as well. You don't have to if you're breastfeeding and you want to express, that's absolutely fine. Or you want to continue using the formula in the food, you can. The formula or breast milk obviously needs to be their main source of their main drink up to 12 months, but otherwise you can use the other products in their food.
That's really helpful, encouraging for sure. And how do you suggest parents start weaning in general? So, as you're saying, start weaning the same as you would normally. How would that look for parents? Because I think there's so many different kind of weaning guides out there. And from your experience as a dietitian, what would you say the best way is to start to wean your baby?
So I would say the best way, you could start with some vegetables to start with. But if they're 6 months, quite quickly, I would start getting onto mixtures of different food, including really iron-rich foods at least twice a day as well. Because what happens is they have all their iron stores up to about 6 months that they get from you. And then after that, they really deplete. So it's really, really important, especially if they're after 6 months, you start getting these iron-rich foods into them as well. And I quite like a mixture of some finger foods with also some pureed type foods as well. And again, it doesn't need to be really smooth. Again, if they're 6 months, you can start working through textures quite quickly as well, which again is quite important because a lot of children we see that are really fussy eaters sometimes. They haven't been introduced to different textures. Parents have been worried about them choking, and then they've kept them on those kind of pureed textures. And if they don't have those textures around 9 to 12 months, it's really, really hard then for them to get used to eating those kind of things. But I do have a weaning guide as well that can help the parents if they're really struggling as well. But
Brilliant, yeah.
having a combination is a really good way because you just make sure they get all the nutrients into them.
Yeah, we'll absolutely link to the weaning guide on the podcast bio for sure. I think it's, yeah, with the choking, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming and it's so nerve-wracking, especially as a first-time parent and first-time weaning. Is there anything that we can do when we start weaning to kind of reduce fussy eating? I suppose you've kind of just touched on that with the textures. Is there any other things that we could do as parents, yeah, to reduce fussy eating later down the line? So introducing different flavors, things like that, can that help?
I mean, yeah, you can do all of that. And I still see children with fussy eating because, again, it's really common around, especially because if you imagine like a baby grows, if you look at a growth chart, a baby grows really, really quickly in that first year. And then if you look at it after a year, it really kind of plateaus out. So babies will automatically start to not maybe eat as much as they did before. So it's so common. Parents come to me and they're like, I think I had everything during weaning and I did everything. And they're still fussy. And again, all children will go through that kind of fussy stage, that eating stage often, which we call the neophobic stage, which is the fear of new food. And basically, it goes back to our ancestors. So, really irrelevant for today. But basically, around that age, children could move, so they could then pick up poisonous foods. So, it's kind of an inbuilt thing to protect children, which is why they always want to eat off your plate when they're that sort of age, because seeing you eat something, they're like, oh, that's safe. Nothing bad's happened to mummy, so it must be okay. So really encourage them eating off your plate as well. But it is really normal, the fussy eating stage. And most children will obviously grow out of it. Some children don't, and sometimes they need some more help and support as well. But I do think that, like, and I do find that if a child does have allergies or there's lots of reflux, you know, or there's some kind of trauma around feeding or something's happened, then often they can be the children that tend to be struggle more with eating as they get older, like my little girl did.
That is so interesting about the inbuilt, as you were saying, from our ancestors being, food could be poisonous. I hadn't even thought about that, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, no, completely. And we don't, because why would we? Like, we know food's safe and we're not going to give our child something that's poisonous, but you know, that's just the way that it was protect children because they could obviously grab anything out when, you know, thousands of
Yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, no, that's, and it's also really reassuring that you say that pretty much all children go through the fussy eating phase. I think when you're in it can feel so isolating and like everybody else's child eating. Why is my, for me, my daughter throwing food at the dog? Like, why is she not eating? But to know that, so many other mums or parents are going through this, I think that's really reassuring.
Yeah, you're definitely not alone there.
So, but every child is so different, isn't it? So I've got two children. My son ate everything. He went through a bit of a fussy phase, I'd say around two, but generally he was a pretty good eater, would eat anything we put on his plate. And I've got a daughter who's one, and she is the complete opposite. She's very particular, throws, as I said, throws food at the dog, doesn't really seem interested in food. And I know that a lot of my community also feel the same, that, they're really struggling with the fussy eating phase, and it seems to be going on for quite a while. And I just wondered if you had any encouragement or advice for parents who are going through fussy eating now around making sure that the little one's getting the nutrition that they need. And yeah, any tips for how we can kind of move past the fussy eating, because it's so stressful.
Yeah, no, I know. I fully get it. And I agree with you. Every child is different. And my child was an absolute nightmare with food as well. So I fully understand where you're coming from. And I always look at like some of the Instagram pictures where you see and you're like, how did you get your child to keep them? But I fully get where people were coming from. So no, it's completely normal. I mean, in terms of the tips, I would say, again, with the throwing of the food, and again, if she's one, I would say, I don't know if you've done this already, but get rid of the tray. So she's sitting at the table, because sometimes that can really help, because they basically have got more space, so they can push food away. And when they can't push food away that they don't want, they will throw it more. So again, get rid of the tray and get her at the table. I would say one of the biggest things to start with is just to look at schedules. So make sure that you've got set meal times and set snack times as well. Because I think sometimes what can happen is that sometimes we give a child like a snack, and it's like half an hour before a meal. And if you think about it, their tummies are really, really tiny. So that little snack takes away the nutrients that they then might then eat at a meal when they're actually hungry. So that would be the first place that I always start with my clients is like, when are you feeding them? How often, what are you feeding them? And again, making sure that snacks are what we call have all the food groups. So you have some kind of carbohydrate. So they're basically like little mini meals, rather than just being, like a packet of crisps where you're just giving them carbohydrate, but they're not getting any protein or fat. Because there are some studies as well that show that 50, if a child has snacks, like a lot of the time, they'll eat 50% less of the nutrients that they need if they then sit, whereas if they stick to a meal schedule as well. So that's my first place I always start with parents. The other thing I would say as well is having some kind of like mealtime routine. So I think for children, because we're cooking the meal and we're involved in the meal, we're getting all the smells, our body's getting used to eat. And sometimes with children, we just pull them away from play and we're like, right, it's time to eat now. They haven't had any kind of like a rehearsal to get ready to eat the meal. So sometimes that can really help as well. The other thing I would say is expectations. A child of one is not going to stay at a table or anything for more than about 5 minutes to 10 minutes at maximum. You're not going to get them wanting to stay at a meal. They're not like adults. For us, a meal is a sociable thing. We chat, it's fun. For a child, playing is fun. Sitting at meal is boring. So lower expectations of how long realistically they are going to eat at a meal can help as well. And then my other good thing is, again, especially with like a 1 year old, is lots of food play. Lots of interacting with food. The more you can touch food, the more they can play with food, because kids learn through play, the better. The more chance you've got of them trying new foods, then at the end of the day, when they've come back from nursery or, they're tired, they're much less likely to want to eat something complicated, something new, because eating is actually a really, really hard skill. So if you can help your child by just interacting and playing and doing some food play in the morning, exposing them to a new food then rather than trying to do it at dinner time, which is why I know what a lot of parents often do. They try going, well, let's eat all these new vegetables and this new food at dinner time. And your child's like, no, I just want a beige carbohydrate because I'm tired and I want to eat something quick and easy in the same way we do when we're tired. So try to think of it like that. Sometimes that can be a really good way of trying new foods.
That's so helpful with the snack thing. I think, yeah, when she's in the pram, we do just give her, like, snacks, and we don't really have the set. We have the set meal times, but snacks are kind of just sporadic, and that's really helpful. We'll definitely try that. Yeah, and it's so true. We don't even think about the fact that, yeah, they're so little. They don't want to be sat at the table. You kind of, I think we put these expectations on our children to kind of behave in a certain way, but they just want to play at the end of the day, don't they? And explore. Everything is so new. And
I think we just have these set expectations of what we do as adults, therefore what a 1 or 2 year old should do, and it's often very unrealistic as well. So yeah.
yeah, very unrealistic. So alongside with the fussy eating, something that we experience at the moment, and I know so many other parents do, is that our daughter is very particular with the foods that she likes. So getting her to try new foods is quite a challenge, I'd say. Can you share some ways that parents can help their children to want to try new foods? And yeah, any advice with kind of introducing new foods to their plate?
So in terms of new food, I would say, and because I'm feeding therapists as well, we very much focus on like to eating, and there's very much like 32 steps to eating. And as a parent, we very much focus on that. We think there's two steps to eating. So the first thing I would say is interacting with that new food. So even if it's visually and starting with looking at some books or recipes or, you know, doing some kind of meal planning together. I know it depends on the age of your child, but just getting them involved with food. So even things like growing some food can work really well. Like my little girl, we grew courgettes and she started eating them this year. So it's just the more you can get them involved and around food, the better. I always recommend people getting kids' knives as well and things so that they can help you in the kitchen, even if it's just literally just cutting, you know, some vegetables up or cutting any kind of food up, really, whatever you're making. And again, you know, just making it really easy for them, even if they're stirring, baking, cooking. Basically, what we're trying to do is get them to interact with food so they move up the steps to eating to hopefully eventually actually trying the food. So that's how I always work with people to start with. Yeah, the more you can interact with food, better. And the more you can do it in a fun, play-based way rather than, like I said, in a meal time. I often find for me and my little girl, we've done a lot of things like food challenges where we did a whole like strictly food challenge where we basically picked a food, like we did like avocado, we did pears, we did like a different food each week. We found a recipe. I mean, she's older, so she is seven, but you can do this with a younger child as well. And then we just tried to find some kind of fun recipe and we made it together. And if she tried it, great. If she didn't, then that was fine as well. And I found like with the avocado, we made avocado chocolate mousse because again, she loves chocolate. So sometimes picking something that, you know, they're going to like as well with it. And she did actually lick the avocado as well, you know, and before she was like, I'm not eating avocado. I don't like avocado. You know, it's just, but because it's in that kind of chilled, you're all having fun, you're just making something. There's no pressure on your child as well. Pressure can be a massive issue in terms of making your child feel more anxious and less likely to eat. And I found the food challenges worked amazingly for us. Like she's obsessed with pears now, whereas before she wouldn't touch them. You know, it's just the more you can interact, and don't make it too complicated either. Like, don't try and introduce five new foods at, you know, the table. You know, just, you know, even having those family style meals where the children can visually look at the food, maybe they can just serve you to start with. It takes time as well. So, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself and start with like one food at a time and work through that one. That's how I kind of found work best for my little girl.
Yeah, that's such a good tip. And I think alongside this, it's kind of like if your child refuses the food, should you keep reintroducing it? Would you say, I don't know, a couple of times or with every meal, how would you say parents should start to continue to introduce foods that have been re previously refused?
Yeah, so there is another study as well that showed that basically your brain like isn't convinced that something is a food until at least 10 times. And
Oh, wow.
sometimes it can take 30 times. And there are some studies, I think, in autistic children that can be like 60 or more times as well. So it is really important to expose the food. Personally, I wouldn't go down the route of doing like every evening you do the same over and over again, because I think that becomes a bit overwhelming for you and for your child. I would probably do it more as if I was doing a family style meal, like I've done with vegetables and things like that. Like my little girl eventually is eating spinach, but I reckon it's taken us years and years and years of exposure to spinach to get to the point where she'll have it in a fish pie. And I'd like literally have started with like a crumb or a tiny little fleck to start with, and I've slowly built it up over time. So again, it's just keeping those foods in that you already cook and you have as part of your family. And if they're foods that you never eat, then again, don't start with those foods. Start with foods that, you know, vegetables or things that you eat regularly, and keep just, you know, having them on the table in the middle. Maybe they can just serve you to start with. You know, keep it simple, but yeah, do keep up the exposure as much as you can. But I wouldn't go down the, you know, right, I've done this 10 times now for the next like 10 nights, and then I'm now going to move, you know, like it's It's too much pressure and too overwhelming. I think you just have to take it a bit slower. But yeah, keep the exposure is so important.
Yeah, I love that advice. That was with my son was the same like that with carrots. Would not touch them. He'd never tried them, just refused. And now it's one of his favorite foods. I think it's just we slowly kept, adding them to his plate. He'd see us eat the carrots, and then I think one day he thought, "Oh, I'm going to try this." And then, yeah, slowly, they're always changing children, though, aren't they? So, yeah,
My little one
amazing.
was similar with carrots. It took about 2 years, I think, for her to eat carrots. You can also serve them before a meal as well. So if they're saying, "I'm starving, I'm starving, I'm starving," and you're just about to do the meal, if you cut up vegetables just before, like raw vegetables, often they'll eat more vegetables there than they will the meal time as well because they're really hungry.
That is such a good tip. Yeah, not the veg better than like the veggie straws. Give them some actual vegetables. Brilliant. So this week there was the school acceptance places being sent out, and I know that a lot of parents were feeling really nervous about their children being fussy eaters and going to school. Do you have any advice for parents who, maybe worrying about their child being fussy eater at school if they are at home?
Yeah, so the first thing I would do is if you can get hold of the menus as well, because a lot of schools have sort of like a 2 week or 3 week menu, and you can start by just trying to cook some of those foods with your child as well. That can be a really good place to start. The other thing I'd do as well is if your child doesn't like jacket potatoes, I would start with some what I called food chaining to try and get them used to jacket potatoes because most schools do jacket potatoes. And even if they have to have a packed lunch, but if they can have a jacket potato, once or twice a week, they're then being around their friends, they're in the dining hall, they're getting used to the idea of eating school dinners as well. So that can be a good place to start as well. If your child's very sensitive to noise and you're going to find the dining hall probably quite overwhelming, I would do some practice like going to cafes and places where it's noisier and getting them, and even if you don't, order a big meal. Just the idea of having a little snack there or something to eat there, just to get them used to the idea of being around noise and things like that. If again, because again, a lot of the children that will be going to school in September are all lockdown babies, aren't they? So
Yeah.
again, there might be issues around there as well. So that's where I would start with school meals.
That's really, really helpful. Thank you so much. I feel like I could just talk to you all day about this, especially going through this myself. But if you could share where our listeners could find you, your resources, your website, your Instagram, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I will do. So my Instagram's probably where I'm most active is dietitian dot with a difference. And my website's dietitian with a difference co.uk as well. So I've got lots of resources on there. And if you go on Instagram as well, I've got lots of free guides on fussy eating as well that help parents. And I've got some cow's milk allergy weaning ones as well that will help.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Emma. It's been so good to chat with you, and I'll put all your links in the show notes at the bottom.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and a review. It really helps us to reach other mums just like you.